When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello, folks, and welcome to our podcast. In today's episode, we present to you a chapter of Timothy Burdick's audiobook, The God Who Enables, which is read by yours truly. This is chapter 16, entitled Empowering Godly Freedom. This chapter presents the story of the Good Samaritan, read in a slightly new way. We hope you will enjoy this chapter, and please consider buying the audiobook from audible.com or amazon.com. Enjoy the chapter, thank you for listening, and God bless you.
Thank you.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for Chapter 16 of The God Who Enables, Empowering Godly Freedom. Chapter 16, Empowering Godly Freedom. It was a hot and sticky day. Tempers were short as the crowd relentlessly swarmed around Jesus. Finally, an expert in religious law couldn't take it anymore. He stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said in a snide voice, "what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" There was a hush in the crowd as the man scratched his head. Finally, he replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Okay," Jesus told him, "if you know what is right, do it, and you will live." "Well," the man snapped, wanting to justify his question, "who is my neighbor anyway?" Jesus replied with a story. As a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. When he saw the man lying there, he simply crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Then a temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but also passed by on the other side. Finally, a despised Samaritan came along. Seeing the injured man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. He put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he continued to care for him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, saying, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than what I've given you, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked the religious leader. The man smugly replied, "Of course, it was the one who showed him mercy." Jesus then said, "Yes, you're right. Now go and do the same thing." But the man simply left in disgust. The Samaritans in the Bible were half Jewish only and half Gentile. They therefore were despised by the Jewish people. The 2 groups had no dealings with one another, going out of their way to avoid any contact. However, the Good Samaritan had crossed racial, ethnic, religious, and social barriers, showing compassion to his beaten neighbor. Putting this scenario in today's terms, you might picture a doctor from the suburbs helping a homeless gangbanger of a different race, or someone whom you might be trying to help who simply pushes you away. In this parable, Jesus answers the all-important question we might ask today: who is my neighbor? We find Christ's definition of biblical freedom in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The freedom to die to ourselves and choose to help others begins when we realize that the constant emptiness we feel is really a longing for Jesus himself. Our lives will take on new meaning and purpose when we choose not to live for what we can gain, but for what we can give. This kind of freedom is born out of love, as Christ first gave himself for us. It is a love which cost him everything. Therefore, since his love overflows to me, I should freely pass it on to those who are in need. Godly freedom empowers both you and me to get out of our own little worlds. Since this is foreign to the world's thinking, many people resist Christ's call, believing that it is too narrow and confining to try and put God first in their lives. However, while it is true that we might walk a narrow road, each day spent under Christ's lordship brings with it new challenges to love others. While all of us want freedom, the freedom the world offers can be misguided. In the name of its freedom, many have been enslaved physically. Others have been imprisoned emotionally by things like alcohol, pills, and climbing the corporate ladder. When we are caught in a web of selfishness rather than reaching out to others, we are tempted to stay stuck in what I call the hotel of happiness. Chasing after happiness has a high cost, just as many hotels do. Happiness is also fleeting, and it only offers temporary rewards with strings attached. We live in a world where everything is at our fingertips, spoiling us with modern conveniences. Therefore, we often forget that nothing really worth having comes easily. True freedom also comes with a cost, which Jesus calls us to count. He invites us to live a life that is completely different, a life which shouts freedom. The life he calls us to live often takes us out of our comfort zones as we consider the needs of others. Even though this is not always easy, he invites us to look for opportunities to become others-centered instead of self-centered. God's desire for us is to soar on the wings of eagles, living above our circumstances. Even with limited understanding of all that is going on around us, Christ's freedom is born out of a love from which no man can separate us. Yet we can still enjoy a sense of peace which the world doesn't understand. Perhaps your thinking might echo these concerns. "That all sounds great inside these 4 walls, but What about the difficult people I have trouble loving? How do I do that? I assure you that you're not alone with these questions, as I too can relate to those whom I have found difficult to love. It is important to remember that while we run into some annoying characters, we can and should ask God to help us love them. At the same time, it is also important to remember that the people we often shun who are around us may be wounded and hurting, lashing out because of what they are going through. Sometimes, with our busy schedules, we can be just like the priest and Levite to whom Jesus referenced. Instead of crossing the street to avoid getting involved, we may quickly cross the room to avoid contact with those who annoy us. Biblical freedom is a package which we seldom unwrap when trying to quench the thirst for liberty in the human heart. It often has someone or something else's name on it. But Jesus is telling us in story form that it is not until you and I strive to love God with our whole hearts that we can truly love our fellow man. Going out of our way to show compassion to others does not just help the other person involved. It also helps me, because it frees me from the bondage of just being concerned about my own needs. While we have talked about not being able to be separated from God's love, it is not until you and I really understand it that we can personally experience the security of His loving arms. That security enables us to reach out to others. We who follow Him can rest assured as we meditate upon God who gave His life for us. Unlike the world, we don't need to acquire new toys, because we have the real thing. If Jesus' words are not enough, look at His example. Remember when He forgave His enemies from the cross and the thief who hung with Him? While He was fully God, He was also fully man, and this was excruciatingly painful. Sadly, the cross is little more than a piece of jewelry or a decoration to most people today. However, if all of us are to love God fervently, we need to remember that our suffering is nothing in contrast to His. Because of His death and resurrection, His Holy Spirit gives us the power to stand boldly in an evil world. This is a result of walking in His Spirit, which empowers and guides us. Just as the Good Samaritan's oil and wine refer to the medicine of that day, maybe the medicine you and I have to share with others is a smile, a cheerful word, or a listening ear. While telling others you love them through your actions may cost you and me, that cost pales when we think of the price that Christ paid in giving up His heavenly riches. Jesus became homeless, pouring the oil of His love into our wounds so that we could share that oil with others. I challenge each of us, therefore, to draw close to God as He longs to draw close to us. It is when we do this that we find out what biblical freedom really means. Losing ourselves in the lives of others becomes gain. It is no longer a responsibility. It is a privilege. As a blind person, for example, I can have a pity party trying to find my way around in a new building while visiting someone who is sick. I have taken encouragement many times, however, in the following words from Scripture. Hopefully, you will do the same. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Matthew 25:40 NLT. In summary, I share an analogy about how Christ deals with us in story form. You have just moved to the Empire of Libertyville, where the King has paid for all of your expenses. In His message, He tells you that you owe Him nothing for this, because human currency is worthless here. But summoned to see Him in a week, you feel motivated by pride, thinking you should do something for him anyway. The next few days are spent worrying about what you will take to him. Finally, you hit upon an idea. Without telling anyone, you spend all your working minutes preparing a gift that will surely impress the king. When the big day comes, you are ushered into his presence, nervously bowing before him. He smiles, telling you to relax. Without saying a word, you give him what to you is a priceless gift. "What is this?" his voice thunders. "Didn't I tell you that nothing was required? That your gifts are worthless here?" "Yes, your majesty," you stammer, shrinking back. "But I felt it was my duty to repay you with something." "In Libertyville, we are not ruled by duty," he says, "but by love." Nodding to his assistant, he sighs, and the package is brought and opened. The king begins to weep. All at once, the palace is filled with frantic attendants. He is ushered from the room, but reaching the door, he turns back to you. In a sad yet gentle voice, he says, "You have brought me nothing of any value. While your heart may have been in the right place, your works, apart from me, are worth nothing." Coming back to the present, I will leave the decision with you, my friend. Will you accept God's offer of freedom, standing for him alone? Or will you allow pride to be your God and stand in front of him alone?
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.